It's a new year, and with it comes your chance for a fresh start. I'm Lisa Osborne. This is Lisa.fm Thrive on Issues and Ideas here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. The new year can be a terrific opportunity to bring in positive change, but all too often, those New Year resolutions are all but a faded memory by the end of January. This episode of Lisa.fm Thrive will help you reinforce your goals by harnessing the power of ritual. Suzanne Marlowe is a Santa Barbara-based licensed marriage family therapist and insight yoga instructor. She's here to walk us through the process of creating a personal ritual, whether it's to reinforce a New Year resolution, process loss, promote personal growth, or just bring more serenity into your life. Thanks for being here, Suzanne.
Thanks so much for having me.
Merriam-Webster defines ritual as something that's always done in a particular situation and in the same way each time. How do you feel about that definition? Do you have your own definition of ritual?
Well, you know, Lisa, when I think of ritual, I think of something that we practice, you know, and so rituals can be a way of setting time each day to create intentions, to create mindsets, to grow in psychological ways, to grow in spiritual ways. You talked about New Year's resolution, and that's always a time that people decide they're going to create new habits or, you know, get rid of old habits. And so how do you do that? Ritual's a wonderful way to do that. I think Merriam-Webster's, you know, definition, the same way each time, I don't think we ever do the same thing every time. We can set space, we can set intentions, we can set certain ways of doing it, but it's always different.
Well, we do get into routines sometimes. They wouldn't always be positive rituals, whether it's eating popcorn and candy at the movies every time you go, but there are opportunities, as you said, to set space aside and to maybe reinforce a resolution or a long-term goal. What would you suggest to someone who would want to try to create, let's call it a healthy ritual, something that can be nourishing?
I guess that depends on what the person is trying to create, but I think as we develop into healthier human beings, if that is our aspiration in life, we need to think more wholesomely. You know, as a marriage family therapist, I work a lot with the mind, and we have to be honest about what's going on inside. So I think meditation is a wonderful ritual every morning to set space for self-respect, to set the tone of our attitude, to realize who we want to be in that day and how we want to meet others. That to me is a really important ritual. I've taught it as mental flossing, you know, to really clean the space inside so that what we're offering is pretty clean to the outside.
So that's a great idea to set the intention that you want to happen for the day. Should we do this in a quiet way? I'm just thinking that someone listening to this might be getting out their to-do list and starting to write down the to-do list. Perhaps if we're not as used to having quiet time in meditation, what about writing down a list or for a morning ritual? Would you say that might be nourishing?
That's interesting, isn't it? You know, yes, we all have our lists, our to-do lists, but that feels to me more like an intellectual exercise. Something that I suggest to my students, you know, if you don't have time to sit and just feel in your body and do some breathing, you know, 5 minutes. 5 minutes before you get out of bed, meditation. Something that my teachers passed on to me is deep belly awareness. So my suggestion is 5 minutes before you get out of bed, put your hands on your belly, feel the breath moving in and out, relax into who you are, accept who you are. And then kind of set your mind as to how you want to be. You know, this is what creates changes. The lists, you know, we can set our to-do list, but how do we want to feel in this body? How do we want to reflect our heart? And what thoughts are going to help us to do that?
Deep belly breathing seems like that would be a really relaxing way to get the day started. Let's talk about how important is it to turn off the mind if we're trying to do a ritual or set an intention to achieve a goal?
This is an interesting question. Can we really turn off the mind? I don't think so. You know, this is a question I had for my meditation teacher. You know, I said, I just keep thinking. And he said, that's what the mind does. So how do we set time to find that space that's very calm and quiet inside, even amidst the thinking mind, the feeling body. There's that middle space, you know, where we actually can continue to calm the nervous system to be very, very present in all situations, whether they're comfortable, uncomfortable. This is a place that meditation helps us to find. Belly breathing helps us to find, you know, it's a real deep acceptance.
And it seems like with this world is just getting busier and busier. We have longer commutes to work, or we're working longer hours. So to really slow down is counterintuitive. And I like what you're saying about the belly. And I'd like to talk with you again about the belly and the gut feeling in a future podcast episode.
That would be great. Yeah. So, you know, this busyness of our life, I mean, is this a ritual? You know, so we have to be honest about the rituals that we're doing and how they're inspiring us or how they're helping us to grow. Because we have plenty of rituals, you know, as we were talking about before. You could go to Starbucks every day and order the same thing every day, but is there intentionality going into that? Is there mindfulness? You know, I mean, we could just change that ritual into being one of meditation. Can you sit down and enjoy your latte and feel each sip? I mean, that's a meditation. We're just kind of moving through this life so mindless, always having a goal or a task or some end point in mind. We're really missing that in-between space, you know? And so can the rituals help us to settle in, you know, to really savor the moments?
That's a good point, because a lot of us seem like we need to get from one place to the other. Well, we're not enjoying the right now. So would having gratitude and being appreciative of where we're at right now help us toward reaching our goals?
Gratitude is a beautiful place to live, you know, and particularly in our culture and in this side of the world, we have so much to appreciate. And so one ritual that I find that's helpful is every time you walk through a door, you know, can you slow down a bit and just take a breath and remember how lucky you are, how fortunate you are to be in that moment, you know, even in the moments that don't seem so fortunate. I think that this is a great point that you bring up, you know, how do we settle into these appreciative spaces to have gratitude for ourselves and one another?
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm talking with Santa Barbara licensed marriage family therapist and Insight Yoga instructor Suzanne Marlowe about the power of ritual here on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Let's go a little bit deeper in ritual setting. You know, when I was researching for this topic, I came across grief and loss, and it was pointed out that sometimes it takes a really long time to get over the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship. Is there a way to use ritual to really try to get rid of some of these deep-seated things that we're grieving that we might not even be aware that we're still sad about?
That's an interesting place to be in terms of trying to get over something. You know, I think particularly with grief, you know, we need each other, you know, to not isolate, to actually, some of the ritual would be to surround yourself with friends or family, or to talk about what you're sad about or what you miss about the person. These are kind of the beginning stages. And then, you know, the deep-seated grief, it can be in there, you know, it's like, can we be okay with that? And as it comes up, can we feel it in that moment? Some of the suffering occurs when we're dreading that coming up, or we want to push it away or get rid of it or get over that relationship. It doesn't work. You know, sometimes we need to let these things work us and be okay with that too.
So be okay with feeling the feeling. That slogan, what you resist persists, came to mind when you just mentioned that. So be okay with it and embrace the feeling or the tears or whatever's coming up.
Absolutely. You know, when we start to follow the storylines behind these feelings, then we tend to hold on to it longer. Something that has been passed down again from my teacher and some scientists even is emotions run through the body in 90 seconds. So if we can label an emotion as grief, as sadness, as fear, and just sit with that feeling and host it, you know, basically host it and accept and hold space for it, it will move through, you know. So yeah, have a good cry. See if that's true for you. See if it can move through in a minute and a half.
We'll be timing it, that's for sure. Okay, we're talking about ritual, creating rituals to achieve goals in your life. And I liked what you said about checking in the morning before you even get out of bed and put your hands on your belly, do the deep belly breathing, and set the intention for the day and what you wish to accomplish. Do you have any tips for anyone who wants to develop a new habit or perhaps go for a dream this year, whether it's a writing or some kind of a creative hobby that they want to get into more? Would you set aside any kind of ritual for that?
Well, it's known that new habits are created in 90 days. So if you can take the 90-day challenge, if there's something that you really want to change and you want to integrate something into your life, can you do that for 90 days? If you want to start to meditate, can you set that time aside every morning and just do that? You know, this is where ritual comes, the practice time. You know, I think for me, ritual and practice coincide together. They're kind of the same. So a new habit, you know, do you want to start eating more wholesomely? Can you do that for 90 days? Can you, you know, each day wake up and have that intention for yourself? And, you know, I think we also have to have rituals of forgiveness. You know, when it's not quite happening that day, give yourself that day and begin again.
That one might be a hard one for people to do, is to really forgive ourselves and give ourselves a pass because we're pushing ourselves so hard. So the deep belly breathing and getting in touch with our intention for the day, that's great stuff. And what about for later in the day, maybe lighting a candle or setting up a certain area of our house for quiet time and reflection? Have you found that helpful?
You know, it actually just depends on somebody's personal preferences. You know, I think an altar or even altars around the house are really helpful for us to remember to do deep belly breathing or to develop self-respect or to create intentions in our day. So whether it's being done in the morning or it's the afternoon, or, you know, a lot of people will do their practice in the evening. And what's practice for you? You know, I mean, it may be sitting for 5 minutes, other people a couple of hours. It's definitely worth researching. And I think altars around the house are wonderful to help us remember the essence of our being, what's important to us, what we value.
Where you might write down a goal or have a photo or something that reminds you of what it is you're trying to achieve?
I think that's helpful. I think it's always helpful to have a teacher that you respect. Someone that you can learn from and to continue to go and learn from that person. The other thing I'd highly recommend as a ritual throughout our year is to take retreat time. Go away. Silent meditation retreats, go away on a yoga retreat. Something that's of value to the self, you know, something that's enhancing. There's plenty of centers around California and try it. You know, that's a challenge this year. Go do that. And even just a weekend and see how you feel afterwards. And set this intention for yourself to do that at least twice a year.
You're starting something in Santa Barbara coming up at the end of January, mindfulness group therapy. How do you envision that going?
Well, you know, I've been teaching groups the mindful yoga or insightful yoga. And to work in a group is so powerful, and I work mostly with individuals or couples in my counseling practice. And so I'm really interested in developing groups where we do psychological processing together. Within this group, we'll do some meditation, some mindfulness. We'll talk about the themes of compassion and loving kindness and forgiveness. And, you know, it's going to be the participants in the group that really make this happen. So we learn from each other. We need each other. And we cannot do this alone.
What do you find is the difference between a one-on-one therapy and something in a group session? Because it does seem so different, talking about your most personal stuff to possibly strangers.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, you know, I love doing therapy with individuals. I think we need witness to our process. I think we need our stories heard. And in a group, as our stories are heard, something may be really helpful to somebody else. You know, as you gain an epiphany or you start to grow, you know, one individual grows, another one may gain some growth from that growth. You know, we offer the space to one another. You know, there's something that happens within a group that's very magical.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that with us today. And for more information on Suzanne Marlowe, go to Suzanne Marlowe, SuzanneMarlowe.com. I'll put a link at wellnesstalkshow.com where you'll find this podcast. And if you get to Santa Barbara at Yoga Soup, your Insight Yoga class, I love it. That's where I met you, and I just really enjoy practicing with you in an insightful way with the meditation and yoga all tied together.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, please come to class. Yeah.
So much fun. This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast.